Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, everybody.
He's
Loveline.
He's Goyim.
Yeah.
That's why he's a Goyim, you know.
No, Drew
he's
is
not Jew.
Drew is half Jew.
Is he?
Half Jew, Drew.
Drew, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You hear me?
What's up?
That's Pauly Shore, Drew.
He
called you the Goyim, and he probably, Pauly would probably think.
Well, I've seen him before with his whole crew, you know, his whole family. You guys don't seem that Jewish.
I know, it don't seem that way. You know, my wife is even more Jewish than I am. It turns out she came from a family. We found out there was a whole part of her mother's family that forsaked their heritage.
Forsaked.
Right.
Wow.
For some weird political reasons. And so she's actually more Jewish than I am.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, she don't look it, but she acts it. I'll tell you what. Yeah, I'm Mike Chanel. Dr. Drew is over there in Washington, D.C. tonight because he's addressing the House, the Senate, the Congress. Who are you talking to?
Capitol Hill to address the interns, Capitol Hill interns.
Oh.
All the people that come
going
work
on
there
with them.
Talk about prestigious.
We'll
bunch of simple faced 19-year-olds.
So you flew out there for this particular reason?
Yeah. It's very cool. It's really a lot
so
of fun.
So the interns
before.
In Washington, you're out there for?
The ones that they're working for all the senators and the White
yeah.
House and stuff, they come to this meeting and I get to talk to them and find out what's going on with them and get all the really crazy dirt that's going on in Washington.
So you're in your hotel right now?
No.
I'm in a
CBS radio studio.
So it's late there?
Pauly, good.
Pauly's
late here.
Amazing. Yeah.
I just came in from the East
Coast.
You did, so you know.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, I think it's like 2.5 hours now, almost 3. Hey, Drew, let me get the show back on track,
please.
By the way.
Please.
Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All-American Rejects are in here tomorrow night. Pauly Shore tonight. Minding the Store is the name of the show. It premieres this Sunday, the 17th, 10 o'clock on TBS. I'm going to watch because I'm into all this stuff, and I've been seeing the promos, and they look pretty good too. And they've they're really behind it.
It's. Let me tell you, it's a pleasure. It really is.
It's just because you
spend time, you work on something, and then you know at the end of the day you hand it off to someone,
right?
And you don't know if they're going to wipe their butt with it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Or they're going to actually like put money in it. And TBS, I think, is at this place right now in where they're at, where they need to prove something,
right.
And they need to get, you know, I mean, they did the last Gilligan's Island.
Right.
That was their last show, and that wasn't that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That wasn't that good, you know?
No, see, you know, I was having an interesting conversation with my agent, James Babydoll Dixon, today about, I'm doing a show that we're right at the halfway point, actually, of my show, which I'm doing for TLC. And here's the thing about these networks, because if you're used to doing network stuff, ABC, you know, CBS, or you're on one of these higher profile ones, like we were on MTV, Comedy Central, that kind of thing, that is like playing. It's what my agent said. Look, do you want to be all American at a AA school, or do you want to ride the pine at Nebraska? Do you want to go to
which one's the pine? I'm confused.
The bench.
Yeah, but what station is that? MTV? Is that the pine?
Yeah,
ABC.
You want to go over to network
What's
and get
TLC?
Lost. TLC is the
bench.
That's the AA school.
Oh, that's the AA school. Okay,
I probably shouldn't use the sports analogy in front of Pauly because he's a comedian. But here's the thing about comedians: they're either really into sports or they know nothing about sports.
Yeah.
There's no comedian that sort of knows a little bit about sports, but not that much. But so here's my point: better to be on a smaller network that's hungry. All right, here's an analogy you're going to get. I would rather go to a prom where all the chicks were ugly, and there was one chick who was like a 6, and she was just hungry, just excited to see fresh meat at that place, rather than go to a place where it's a whole bunch of babes and they all had an attitude.
I'd rather go to the babe place.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you're
Pauly
Shore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
You cash in.
Exactly.
You do that. Hey, wheeze.
No, slow down. I'll kill you.
Well,
I'll stab you. Where's my black security guard?
Give him.
Oh, he's not here.
You give them a little taste.
Yeah, give them a little taste. I start rubbing them like the Charmin.
Right.
You know, I start squeezing their arms, a little chubby, little farm fat, you know, around their chubs.
Yeah, no, that's my prom. I got the chubby chicks.
The chubby chicks.
It's my prom.
But the hot girls, they have chubby too.
Sometimes.
Like the little on the side, the back arm.
It is nice once in a while when you see a hot chick because she has chubby arms.
Yeah.
And you're like,
and the little chubby hands.
Paulie, yeah. Don't you have issues this way? Aren't we sort of massaging some pathology here?
What do you got, Paulie? Do you like that?
Like what? The
little meat on your bones?
Yeah, I like girls that are more, I think, hardier as opposed to skinnier.
No compulsion, you know? That way, though, huh?
Excuse me, a chubby compulsion?
I'm just saying. I heard rumors that there's compulsions in your TV show that you get.
Oh,
in
really?
On the TV show, yeah, I see a sex therapist on my TV show. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah,
why? What's going on?
Dr. Pat Allen.
What's going on?
Well, just because, you know, I've been wanting to, you know, at some point, hopefully, you know, find a girl that, you know, maybe become, you know, a marriageable woman. You know, I'm sick of, like, you know, rolling in my Christmas party with just me and my friend.
Right.
You know, rather rolling, like, with, you know, a girlfriend and maybe she's pregnant and a wife, you know, stuff like that. So I'm seeing the sex therapist right now to try and get me, you know, focused so when I do find that marriageable girl, I don't screw it up, you know?
Well,
when you really are ready to deal with your sexual addictions, you let me know, Paulie.
Yeah.
Yes.
You let me know.
What's what is
it's not
what,
done with like, individual therapy? It's not done in an individual setting.
How do you do it? How do you do it?
But it's entertaining for my show, though.
How do you do it, Drew? You don't do it one on one.
You do it in a group. What's up with the Sierra Tucson out there? Isn't that like all?
It's excellent.
That's good, right?
And yeah, it's a good one. There's another one. See, Patrick Carnes moved. Sierra Tucson's good. He moved from the Meadows in Tucson to another place, and I think it's like Mississippi.
What are you two guys even talking about?
We're talking about the Meadows and the.
Have you ever been addicted to anything? Were you ever into drugs or
not really.
Hookers or anything?
No.
And do you
remember
consider,
once, Paulie,
Drew, quiet down. Let me talk
for
a second.
No, he's going to probably talk about one time you tried to urinate on him or something.
No, you came in here, you had a bunch of pictures of one of your cross-country debaucherous experiences.
Yeah, but that was a 21-year-old weasel having a good time on the road.
Tours of duty, man.
Yeah,
oh
well, that's
God.
It. Going in for the kill.
Well, let me ask you: Do you think you're nutty or neurotic? I mean, do you seriously? If you thought like, look, if I met the right girl tomorrow, we could
definitely,
date for 6 months and get married.
Definitely, yes, think, for sure, definitely.
Which one?
I think that I could settle down.
Oh,
for
okay,
sure. Yeah,
you're fine.
Sure.
You don't feel feel crazy or weird
not.
Or anything.
No, I just picked the wrong girls. That's all.
Right. Well, you're going after the. You know,
it's also, you know, I don't want to say LA's tough, but it is kind of weird out here. You know what I mean? I mean, you're married, correct?
Yes.
And how long have you been with your wife?
Well, been married for almost 3 years.
And where'd you meet her?
I met her at one of Jimmy was doing some sports
showed up.
Tower Records, right?
No.
What does she do for a living?
Nothing. Now she didn't do it. She was not in the entertainment.
What does
business.
She do for a living now, though?
Nothing.
So do you like that? Does that turn you on mentally?
No.
Exactly. So get divorced.
Okay. I need a note. I need a note, though.
How dare you?
But all I'm saying is,
all you guys, when you have kids, the world they will all be different.
All right.
I swear to God, you will be so grateful.
We don't know anything. Exactly.
You will be so goddamn grateful that you have a good person that you love back at home, dedicating yourself.
True. I hope you're talking about your nanny. You can't mean your wife.
She's stirring the mole, right?
All right, come on, Drew. Stop kissing your wife's ass. Paulie, what were you saying? Paulie was making a valid point, and then you jumped in with a good
ass
licking.
I was saying just mentally, are you stimulated with your conversations with your wife? I mean, do you share stuff with her, and you generally feel she's excited about what you have to say? And vice versa? Like, when she talks about her day, are
as
you
As long
like,
as it's about the dog.
Yeah, we talk about the dog.
No, but are you nodding off about stuff, or are you, like, generally interested in her?
We talk about things. You know, I'm done talking by the time I get home, by the way. And here's the thing. Like,
but
you know,
your friendship, I mean, do you guys have a great friendship is my question.
I don't know about great, but I don't want to F my great friend, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to get too friendly with the old lady.
You don't want to get too friendly.
It's weird. God. But you know
what? I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm the wrong person to ask.
You know what? Here's the deal with me. Really is I talk all day. That's and then I come here
and
talk at night.
You don't want to talk.
Yeah, it's like the guy who works at the ice cream parlor. And it's like he comes home. He wants some ice cream for dessert. No, I'm sick of looking at it. And my feeling is I'll talk, but I need to get paid.
So
if she gives me like $20, I'll tell her. When she does stupid stuff,
so that's cool. So you guys are
Yeah.
Giggling together.
I don't mean makes me laugh. I mean makes me laugh when she steps on a rake and hits her in the face.
Yeah, she stubs her toe.
Yeah, that
stuff
kind of stuff.
Pain.
Yeah, pain.
What keeps slapping in the background?
I don't know.
What is that?
Nobody else hears that but you.
Okay.
Mallory?
Hi.
You're 16?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
My boyfriend, we've been dating for like 4 or 5 months now, but he has a like kind of curved, crooked kind of penis, and I don't know.
Scoliosis of the penis.
What?
It's scoliosis. It's from pulling it to the right. Does it go to the right or the left?
It's Peyronie's syndrome.
Peyronie's syndrome. Scoliosis of the...
No, it's like curved down.
So it goes down.
Yeah,
to
and
the
like
ring of
whenever,
fire.
Like whenever he's erect, it like kind of curves down a little bit, and like whenever he's erect, it doesn't come up like it like everyone else's does.
Does that hurt? Does it hurt you when you're having sex?
We haven't had sex. I'm scared to because
how much does it curve? Is it a slight curve is it a pretty hardcore curve?
It's pretty bad because I've given like oral.
When you put give what?
I've given him oral sex and it's kind of felt weird.
Yeah. Oh, that's rough.
Well, can't you straighten it?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Dr. Drew, can't you, like, put a popsicle stick on it and put some string around it and, like,
about
put some cement?
How about a hot comb like the blacks do with their hair?
All right, here's the deal. There's sometimes these are sort of acquired processes that respond to vitamin E. He could take, like, 800 units of vitamin E a day.
Oh, please.
That's not going to work.
A big zero.
It doesn't work for
you. Even Paulie
knows that's worthless.
Yeah, if you take vitamin E, your penis is going to become straight, you're saying?
No way.
It helps. It does not. It's pulled down by a scar, a plaque on the base of the penis.
So why is his penis crooked? Is that a genetic thing?
It can be genetic, and it can be acquired from traumatizing it, excessive sort of action.
Like pulling it and stuff.
Yeah, and so there is an operation to correct it if it's painful with intercourse, but it may not be painful. I mean,
it might actually be great. It might hit your clitoris in a really interesting place.
Right, you don't know, but wait a minute, I'm on TV tonight doing a penile surgery. It'll 12 o'clock.
Yeah. How it all comes together.
Yeah.
Hey, Drew, isn't the vagina doesn't it go that direction anyway once you get in there?
It kind of does, and I always thought that the downward curve would be the least uncomfortable, but if you remember when Dr. Alter was in there, the guy that does these repairs, he said that the downward actually causes a lot of discomfort, so I stand corrected on that one.
All right, so here's the thing. Mallory, if he's not in any pain, you shouldn't be freaked out about his penis because you're going to freak him out about his penis.
Right.
All right, and say hello to Skippy for us. What reference is that?
Skippy.
Mallory, Skippy.
Oh, that's Family Ties.
Family Ties, yeah.
Wow. See, we're like the same.
Yeah, we're simpatico.
So we handled her problem? So she's good?
She got to get over it.
I just think that it's like, you know what I mean? It's like probably dating someone that's handicapped.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you're not.
Yes.
So it's like if you're going to look at the person differently, you know, because he's got a club foot or something,
right?
Then don't. You know what I mean? If you're going to stare at his club foot, I mean, if he's got a big heart and you love him, then you should stay with him.
Right.
They just don't. They don't even know if they have a problem yet, so we'll see.
Right.
And plus, she should try have sex and then make the decision.
Right.
Because it might be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Well, here's the thing. 16-year-old women are a little bit freaked out even...
Just about anything.
...over a normal penis, and that's probably good.
Right.
So maybe she should just take it slow. George?
Yes.
You're 24?
Yes.
You're in the military, and you spend $1,000 a week on escorts?
Well, not every week, but the last week I spent $1,000.
For a military guy, that seems a little light. I think you'd be more in the 15 to 2,000
a month. I think the government should be supplying our military with escorts.
Well, they don't.
I mean, with all that, you know, the money that we're spending overseas.
Yeah.
I mean, I just went on a promo tour.
Right.
Okay. Like, I was in my hotel locked in there for 3 weeks. I didn't get laid.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't get. It was like the first time in a long time that I haven't gotten laid in that long of a period of time. And I told the people at, you know, TBS, it's like, you know, you should supply that for me in my room.
They didn't
do that. You should talk to TLC.
Oh no, I have a rider.
Because
in my
contract. Because you don't have time to go out and meet girls.
Well, that's what I said.
Because you're locked in. You're going from the car to the interviews, dinner, back to the thing. Wake up, you fly. You don't have time.
No, I know it's stipulated in my contract. You should have.
I blew it. Hopefully, if we get picked up for a second season, they should definitely have.
Oh, you put it
like,
in there.
You know, like an escort type situation. You know, in the room, just someone to massage you, rub you. You know,
they don't realize as a performer, all you have is your confidence.
Right, and if your penis isn't taken care of,
where are we going, guys?
You can't really concentrate.
We have 2 hours to kill, Drew. We're not going anywhere.
Did he say he's spending $1,000 a week or something?
Oh, he said that was last week. And here's the deal: we do our government. And does get the military prostitutes by sending them to Bangkok and Saigon and places where it costs $8 for a hand job.
Right. Where are you located?
Where are you going to be?
You're where?
Washington State.
Well, Drew, you're right there. Hook them up.
I'm in Washington, D.C.
Well, it's the close by. Isn't it? Or is it on the other side of the country?
I think I found someone who knows less about geography than I do. And that is not easy. Because I got to find like a 9-year-old in a hockey helmet.
They know
more than I do.
I know. Special Ed knows more.
Yes. All right, so George.
Paul, you got to listen to this. You got to listen because you've got this problem too, evidently. At least you allege on the television show that you do. And that is that if indeed you have a family history of alcoholism or you were sexually abused growing up, that is sort of a recipe for sexual addiction and compulsions. It's not exclusively that. Sometimes people get into trouble even when they don't have that sort of heritage in their background. And the hallmark is ongoing behavior, ongoing sexual compulsions in spite of adverse consequence. And the kind of feeling state you get into is intense shame. And as that shame emerges, your desire to use or abuse people or in sex becomes even more intense.
I just think that's a 12-step. Yeah, I think exactly. That's what I did when I was on the road. Is I just said, you know what, it's not going to happen. And my choice was that it wasn't going to happen. So what's your name again?
George.
George, you should just be like, go cold turkey. You know,
But Polly, if you can do it cold turkey, then you're more of a compulsive. If you can't do it, then you're an addict. And if you're an addict, you really need to look into some 12.
So then I'm not an addict if I didn't do it.
You're a sexual
compulsive.
Yeah,
you're compulsive.
I'm compulsive. So George, what do you think? You're compulsive or you're an addict?
I don't really know. I always thought I had control of it because I did it because I was constantly moving and I didn't want to have a relationship. And I'm about to get out and go to college, and I've been trying to stop. But when I have the money, it's like, why not?
How much are you spending? I mean, what are you doing? Are you doing intercourse? You're getting oral
sex? He does everything.
Everything? And how much does it cost?
How much are you spending?
Anywhere from $300 to $200.
A pop.
That's not too expensive.
No. But you know why?
But it's in Washington, upstate, right?
Yeah. My favorite show is Hookers on the Brink because... They mic up those hookers, and they're in that horrible neighborhood in Washington, and then the guy pulls up in the beat up car, and she like hops in. She's like, "Hey, sugar, what you need?" And he's like, "How about a blowjob?" And she's like, "Okay, sugar, that'll be $20." And the guy's like, $20. "Bitch, you got to do better than that." Right. And I don't want to say anything because my wife's in there, but I'm like. $20
That's
for
great.
A DJ?
That's fantastic.
I get a crappy lap dance for that. Like, and this guy's complaining?
Right.
The guy's insulted that she wanted $20. Who am I? The Sultan of Brunei? $20 for BJ? Please. Like, what's he fantasizing about? Like $9 or $4? Or
what's a better deal?
What's a better deal? A guy gives you a ride to the airport, you flip him $20. And barely a hand job do you get from him. Yes, I said that in a Jewish way. Do you know?
So maybe you should go visit that street that Adam's talking about.
Yeah,
$20, then it's not that bad. Then you're not. I don't think feeling. Are you more pissed off at the end because you lost the money, or you were more bummed out at the end just because right after you orgasm you're like, oh man, I'm such a loser. Is it the money or is it the, you know what I mean?
The shame.
It's the money.
It's the money.
It's the money. I mean, I'm.
Well, whatever. It's the consequences.
It's the consequences of it.
All right.
I mean, so very picky. The girls are very, very good looking.
Hey, Drew, isn't there don't you at this point in the conversation just give them the phone number and then you hang up?
Yeah. No,
well,
just look
into SA locally. It's Sexual Addicts, Anonymous, Sexaholics. It's 12-step. There are a lot of people like you there. You'll find a lot of support and a lot of stories similar to yours. Go check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely.
You could go to CA and pick up some world-class tale.
What's CA?
Cocaine Anonymous.
Why is that?
All I know is
the girls
I had
really
buddies
money.
Used to go to the West Hollywood. Cocaine Anonymous meeting, and it's just nothing but hot chicks.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, picture Los Angeles,
a bunch
of hot 25-year-olds trying to clean themselves up.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know.
Yeah, that's where you need to go.
Yeah.
Kenneth?
Maybe we'll go there from here.
All right.
Yes,
sir? I think they have like a 1 a.m. one. Kenneth?
Yes?
Yeah, you're 22?
Yes, sir.
What's the dealio?
What's up?
My question is, I've been in the relationship that I'm in right now, I've been in it for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. And over the last two, during morning course, I've been able to tell that it hasn't been there.
The last two years, it's been bad.
Right. Mm-hmm. And last night, for the first time, like when we were having intercourse, like she just looks at me and she says that I've been holding this from you, but the only way that I can like have an orgasm is of thinking of you as my father who molested me. So nice. She revealed to me last night.
I think I know that girl.
Yeah, like every porn star Polly Boink.
Hey,
in the 90s.
Hey, Kenneth.
Yes.
So, all right. I don't know why she would share this with you.
So she likes that.
That's the reason that I'm calling y'all.
What does she do for a living, this girl?
She works at a video store. Not a nude video store like Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's kind of creepy, Drew. What do you think?
Well, that's sort of common with people that have been sexually abused, and I bet this guy is all tatted up and stuff and sort of looks like a bad guy, so it makes her feel like she can be sexual, not only with, you know, because that's part of herself she sort of perceives
as
bad.
Kenneth sounds squirrelier than bad. Are you a bad boy, or are you kind of squirrely?
I'm not a bad boy.
All right.
No tats or piercings?
I mean, like, I was thinking of, like, if y'all advice would be, like, to counseling or something for that. I mean, of course
that's what it would be for her, but that is the only way she can be sexual, probably, if she was that badly sexually abused growing up. I mean,
let me wrap this up, Drew. Here's the bottom line. Kenneth, you are in way over your head with this chick.
Yes.
She was sexually abused by her father. I don't want to call her damaged goods, but she's damaged goods until she gets repaired. And it doesn't seem like, seeing how she's working at a video store in Louisiana, she's going to do any real meaningful therapy anytime real soon. And you are going to then deal with somebody who is sort of all over the road in a relationship standpoint. And then you're going to crap out some kids, and then you're going to be locked in, and then your life's going to be over. So,
but it is an example of how people have a hard time conceiving of this.
Okay, well, let me ask you something.
Hang on a second, Polly. The things that happen that are terrorizing in childhood becomes the source of arousal and attraction in adulthood. So in order for her to feel aroused and be attracted, she has to imagine this horrible thing with him. And that is the extraordinary, bizarre thing about the human being and trauma.
So how does that make you feel? Are you turned on by it, or do you think it's nasty?
I don't see why she would think of me as him. Because, I mean, I haven't molested anybody, and I don't see why she's...
Yeah, but why don't you... Maybe it's just her fantasy. Maybe, why don't you just go with it and put on a belt and some, like, you know, and put on a, you know, some aftershave and kind of make yourself look like him and, like, have fun. It's almost like a girl putting pumps on in a miniskirt for us.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Like, just say, who's your daddy? And, like, be her daddy.
Yeah.
Why not have fun with it?
Take it a step further. Get like his bathrobe he used to wear when he used to F her.
Yeah.
And throw that on. Be awesome.
Okay, so basically, I mean, just go along with it. I mean,
I would. No, have fun with it.
All right, Kenneth.
Rock and roll!
Do not, Drew, be quiet. Was it Drew? Listen, do not get her pregnant. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
That is A number one. You guys can do whatever you want, screw around, fantasize, have a good time, enjoy the ride. Don't knock her up.
Yeah, because then you're stuck with some serious baggage. But you know what? If I were you, how old are you?
He's 22.
And she's?
I'm just going to go 21.
How old is she? About 19?
I don't know. How old is she, Ken?
She's 24.
24.
And she doesn't have any other kids?
No, neither of us have kids.
She must be sterile. Why are you sterile?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Easy. I would just, if I were you, I'd just have fun with it and like not worry about
it. Are you using protection?
Yes, sir.
Okay, keep using it. Don't get her pregnant. And if you're serious, then she's got to deal with this. But here's the thing.
But ask him if it bothers him. Like, does it bother you, or you care, or you don't care?
You know who doesn't care?
Who?
Me. I'm just done.
Do you care? Do you care or don't care?
Kenneth, do you care or don't you care?
I do care.
All right, he does
care. Okay, then break up with her. She's too creepy for you.
Or you got, you know, here's what it is. All right, here's where you're at when you're at this kind of thing. It's like, I'm doing one of my car analogies. You're buying a car, and this car you could drive home, but if you buy it, you're going to have to just totally take it apart and do a ground-up restoration. Now, if you're up for that, go ahead and drive it home. But if you're not, go keep walking. Go get another car, because this thing is going to have to be rebuilt. Like, if you want to be with her for the long haul,
yeah, you gotta, she's going to need to start it over again. Yeah.
Tear it down, baby.
It's like pimp
rebuild
my girl,
the engine.
Pimp my girl, right?
Pimp my bitch.
Pimp your bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's good. No, just need to tear you down and start over
yeah,
again.
Yeah, start over. Take her to exhibit.
Right now,
chick.
If you just want to jump in and joyride
yeah,
for a couple
fun,
of years,
it's all good.
Yeah, sideswipe a couple parked cars,
yeah.
run over a few mailboxes,
yeah.
do some donuts in the parking lot of the Costco.
Then we're fine.
Then we're fine. But if yeah. you think this is going to be a commuter car in
Break
a long
it down.
Time,
pimp my bitch.
Tear it down, baby. Pimp my bitch. Pauly Shore is here tonight. He's a star. Pimp my bitch. MTV Wednesday night. No, Sunday night, July 17th, 10 o'clock. Minding the store. This is Pauly Shore doing. And you know what? Actually, when we come back, I want to talk about the Comedy Store, because everyone knows who you are, and everyone knows who the Comedy Store or knows what the Comedy Store is. I don't know if everyone knows the connection and knows the blood and knows the history and knows the history of the Comedy Store, what it used to be, mm-hmm. how long it's been there, its historical significance, what it was before it was the Comedy Store, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. So I'd love to get into some of the history of it and how your family acquired it and so on and so forth. Drew is in Washington, D.C., right?
Dealing with the interns.
Right next to Oregon, according to Pauly. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Washington, D.C. tonight, addressing the interns.
Addressing the Senate.
On the Capitol
Hill. Are you
going
to be able to go to, like, the White House while you're there?
I went out running tonight. I always run to the White House and then the Lincoln Memorial. But I'm not going to go into the White House, no.
Did you ever do a tour of the White House?
No, Adam had a.
I did a
didn't
tour
you have a
once.
VIP
yes.
tour, Adam.
Did you go tour? Did
I,
you go?
I did
in,
take a tour
did
of the White House.
You go inside and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Did
yeah,
you think
it was cool.
cool.
Yeah, it was.
It was weird, isn't it? Didn't it look like a movie set?
Yeah,
it's all like stark.
Yeah, that's all I can really equate things with is I go to the real place and go, wow, this looks like the set.
Yeah.
It's
I mean, it
stupid.
Really, no, but it really did. I mean, I walked in and, you know, like I met one of the Secret Service guys. He walked me around and the whole thing. It was like, it looked, and it's weird because it's all the same stuff that's been there for so many years. The yeah. furniture, the rugs, the desks.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think. Safe to say there's a little history there.
Yeah.
And I didn't get the executive tour. I think I walked around. Remember the band, the Afghan Whigs?
Mm,
yeah.
Really.
About 8-10 years ago. I think I was there yeah. when we were there for WHF Festival or whatever. But anyway, hey, Drew.
Yeah.
I'm looking at our affiliates list here for the first time yeah. ever, and I see Newport NH. Is that New Hampshire?
It must be.
Yeah, because you never see a state abbreviated with NH, do you?
No, it's up in New Hampshire, yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the Comedy Store, by the way, because there's a ton of history there. I know it yeah. used to be Ciro's,
yeah,
right?
Back, it started, the Comedy Store is, it's for those of people that aren't in L.A. or that kind of know L.A., it's right across the street from the House of Blues and the Sky Bar in that area right there, and it used to be Ciro's.
Heart of the Sunset Street.
Yeah, it's like the clitoris of Sunset.
Right.
And, And this is, you know, Ciro's in the 50s and 60s. It was a club where Bugsy Siegel was at, Sammy Davis, Sinatra, Marilyn Monroe. This was that spot. And then after that, it was Art LeBeau took it over.
Really?
Yeah,
the
Art
DJ?
LeBeau. Yeah, Art LeBeau had it for a while. And then from there, my dad opened it with his friend Rudy DeLuca,
mm-hmm.
who and Rudy DeLuca wrote for Mel Brooks.
Now, what year did your father, Sammy Shore was
yeah.
a pretty famous, or is a pretty famous stand-up
yeah.
comedian?
Yeah.
Sort of old school comedian.
Yeah, like
and what,
Borscht Belt.
Was it 80? I mean, sir, was it the 60s?
No, he opened it with Rudy DeLuca in the year 1972.
72.
Yeah, so that's when they opened it up. And then my dad was a stand-up, and he didn't know how to work the club. He didn't know
right.
how to run the business. So he would go out and open for Elvis and kind of go to Vegas. He had a gig in Vegas. He was working with Elvis a lot.
Right.
And my mom slowly took over. And then they got divorced, and she got in the divorce.
Now, did
and
he buy the club in 1972?
Yeah. No, I think what he did was kind of just rent it from a guy named Frank Sennis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once my mom took over the whole building and mm-hmm. got Art LeBeau's section, which is the main room, mm-hmm. and had the original room, that's when my mom purchased the land.
Right.
In
the
Sunset.
mid-70s? Or?
Yeah, it was 1972, 73, around there.
Oh, was that early, just after your dad got going with it?
Yeah, because my dad just had it when it was the original room. That's when Red right. Fox would go on and Pat McCormick and,
right.
and all these kind of older guys that I remember, Cheech and Chong, when I was just a little kid. A guy named Lenny Schultz.
Yeah.
You remember Lenny Schultz?
Yes.
You do?
I know all these guys.
Yeah.
Lenny Schultz
was like my favorite.
Now, here's the thing that's crazy. Do you have any idea what she paid for that place in 1972 or 3?
Absolutely not. I can, call her and ask her, I'm sure.
Really? You never asked her?
No.
I mean, people would just kill themselves, right? I mean, it's,
I'm sure it was nothing, obviously.
It's always, 1972, it was something, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is it worth $10 million today or $15 million?
I think it's probably with the property that we own around it as well now.
What property do you own
around
it?
I own a house behind it.
Oh, really?
My mom owns another lot. She owns another lot. So we've kind of cornered that whole area.
Oh, really?
But just real estate-wise. But just the land of the store?
Yeah, just the comedy store.
Probably at least, I'd say, probably 25 to 30 million.
Yeah.
Probably.
It's so prime.
At least.
I mean, I guess if somebody bought it today, they would probably
tear it down
and build some multi-story
My vision for the place, honestly, is to build a comedy store hotel there.
Oh, really?
Is to build a big hotel there, kind of like the Hard Rock.
God.
Right.
Yeah, kind of like the Hard Rock was in Vegas, and you call up, they tell you a joke, and
right.
the Sam Kennison suite, the Richard Pryor lounge,
right.
The Roseanne bar, whatever. You know, I don't know what she would have.
Toilet. Yeah.
But that's kind of like my vision is, we've talked about that before, so, I think that would be really cool.
And your mom owns all that land outright now, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to kill my mom. My mom owns a VW Squareback. That's what my mom owns.
But I got to keep it going. And that's why, I came in about 4 years ago at the Comedy Store and started running the business with my brother, because my mom is getting older, like your mom, like all her moms, and she's not there as much. She's not there to maintain the building. So that's why I came in.
The hotel idea, though, is brilliant. I really think so.
Yeah. Well, I hope.
But you got to raise, $200 million
yeah,
or something.
No, it's a big project.
But it's interesting and could work. And
yeah,
then you put like the comedy store on the
roof
top,
or the bottom
roof.
Or leave it there, whatever. You just kind of figure it out.
Wow. But you don't live in the, you live up in the hills somewhere. You don't live in the house behind the place.
Right. Yeah. Right? I live up Nichols Canyon.
Mining the Store is the name of the show.
For the people, just about the show, it's not a reality show. I mean, it's not like, like a documentary show about me, going to my chiropractor or, something like that. It's beat it out. There's a story. It's similar to Curb Your Enthusiasm. There's a beginning, middle, and end. Every story, I call it sitcom reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it because I want people to laugh. I want people at home to be entertained. I don't think there's enough, funny shows on TV right now. I think all these shows are lame, to be honest. I think that they're documentary style, and I don't think people care about, someone, getting their hair shampooed.
Right.
And,
that's episode 3 for my show. Yeah. I'm doing that show. He's talking about my show,
but
Drew.
I was talking to Marmosine. You should really think about beating out some ideas.
Yeah. So, talking about our favorite show, Blowout.
First, I'm just going to beat one out, and then I'm going to beat out an idea.
But you should beat some ideas out so you have some structure,
Let me explain why I did one of these reality shows that Pauly was just making fun of. I was tired of beating stuff out. I'm tired of thinking of jokes. I was tired of writing. I was tired of all that crap. My feeling was, after doing The Man Show, after doing Crank Anchors and doing all these shows where we just sat and wrote and worked on stuff, I was just like, look, just fire up the camera, get in the car and follow me around.
Yeah,
I'll be funny.
I'm not talking about your dialogue. I'm talking about that's all improv.
Right.
What I'm talking about is just a slug. of what story point has to be said in here to move to propel it.
We should have story.
It's one slug.
Marmelstein, beat something out, would you, you putts?
Some slugs, just beginning, middle, and end. So you have something to do. I mean, they do it on the Osbournes.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, agreed on my show to do middle, and middle.
Yeah.
We didn't think to do middle, beginning, middle, and end. We're such idiots. All right. So what you have here is no scripted dialogue.
No dialogue. It's all unscripted.
But the beats, you know where the story's going.
Yeah, but you never know what's going to happen either. Because, like, when you sit down, like you said about you and all your buddies are sitting about developing a story, we didn't do it that way. We just kind of had slugs. And we didn't know, like, for instance, the first episode's called Hot Girls of the Comedy Store.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we didn't know. The way we edited it, we didn't know it was going to end that way.
Right.
The way it ends right now is, like, on stage with this girl singing the song Fake Boobies.
Well, don't ruin it. I mean, we're going to watch it on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, well, forget that last part. But all I'm saying is that we didn't plan on that, but, you know, we planned that it would, you know, wind up on the stage.
Right.
We'd end on the stage.
Yeah,
we didn't know what these girls would say. We didn't know what the girls would be funny.
No, here's the thing.
It's all spontaneous.
Yeah, it's like you're herding a pig that's running. You can't really tell exactly where it's going to go, but you can hit it with a cane a little and see if you can keep it on course.
Exactly, exactly.
It's like pig herding.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Good time. Drew?
Phone calls,
back,
pig herding?
Back in the pen, yeah. You know the thing that...
Pig herding, I like that.
I think it's always...
You just kind of focus the pig. Push him down the lane.
Yeah, he's never going to move like he's on a slot car track. Yeah. You just have to keep him going.
But if he does, it's okay, and you got to flow with it, because you never know what you're going to get out of it as well, though.
Right.
So,
are we talking about farming now? Because sometimes I get deep into these analogies, and I'm not sure what we're talking about. Julie?
Hi.
You're 23?
Yes.
You're thinking about being an egg donor?
I actually am in the process already.
Of donating an
egg?
Donating?
Yeah.
Donating?
How much money are they going to give you, like $5,000 or something?
Ten. I read on the site, and they say they give about $3,000, but I went into the interview, and they want to give me $5,000.
That means you're hot. And by the way,
good eggs.
You don't donate stuff for $5,000. You sell stuff for $5,000. Like when you give your refrigerator to Salvation Army,
like
they don't give
back.
You $900.
Yeah.
There would be no Salvation Army if all their donations were paid out. You understand? You're selling your eggs. They don't call it that. You know, they don't call it donating just like you see those bumper stickers that are pro-choice. They never say pro-abortion because that sounds horrible. But essentially, and I'm pro-choice and pro-abortion, but that's what it is. They say pro-choice. They say donating an egg. No, you're pro-abortion, selling your egg.
Right.
Let's just call it what it is. It makes people freaked out.
So what are you freaked out about?
Julie?
Yes.
So what are you freaked out about? You're going to get $5,000, you're going to give someone an egg, you're going to help a girl give life, and what's the problem?
What's wrong?
Yes.
Well, the screening, the psychological screening is coming up. And
yeah, because you're not going to have any, like, if you can have no connection with these people after, right?
No, I choose to. It's on the questionnaire, and they basically ask you about lots of things. I'm a little afraid because I'm afraid the clinic isn't going to accept me because I might embellish a little bit on my questions. I mean,
What do you mean?
So you're not going to be... So you're saying that the egg and you aren't honest or something?
No, I'm talking about the questions that they give me about
like
education, medical, family.
Sure.
Yeah, genetic. Yeah. I signed a release form, and I want to know how serious they are when it comes to investigating it and how much trouble will I get. I mean, I didn't embellish a lot.
How bad is it?
Give us an example of what you said.
Well, I've completed a lot of my degree. I've completed a bachelor's degree. I'm in the process of getting my master's, but I told them, I wrote down I've completed my master's already. And then when it comes to have I ever had STD, I have. I said no, though. I've had chlamydia, but that's been taken care of, and I'm afraid that
Listen, for your own sake, you better tell them about the chlamydia.
Really?
I would deduct points for mispronouncing chlamydia.
I don't think the master's degree would be a problem. I think the probably that would other
clamp. Hey, Julie.
Yes.
Let me do a little. Let's see if we can work out.
Are you going to do the car analogy again?
No.
This is going to be the pig analogy.
I'm actually.
There's going to be an analogy coming up.
No,
I can feel it.
I'm going to try to figure out.
Oh.
I'm going to try to figure out. Well, here's an analogy. Polly is. I'm like a pirate, and he's like my parrot that won't shut up. And it's driving me insane. Thank you. Julie.
Yeah.
The camera just turned on. We're at $5,000 with your egg, right?
I guess so, yeah.
All right, now how tall are you?
I'm 5'2".
5'2". See, that should be a deduction right there, right?
Yeah, because your genes aren't as good.
Yeah. Actually, forget about the education. Yeah.
You know what? The main doctor there at the clinic interviewed me, and she said that because I'm Asian. She said that they usually have a preference for me. They said that I'm going to go quick.
Oh, really? They want the Asians?
Yeah, I'm going to be a potential candidate.
Go quick? What does go quick mean?
As in, like, they're going to see me, and they're going to want me, like, the recipient. And I don't know if it has to do with my education or what, but she told me that in person, like, in personal interview.
All right, well,
just me and her, and she said, you know, I hope you don't think anything, but, you know, they usually prefer, you know, like
Asians.
Asian. Yeah, and she said they don't usually prefer, like, other race, but they more prefer Asian, and that you're going to go quick because I'm pure, like, my nationality, I'm not mixed or anything.
You're not like a mutt or anything.
You haven't been stepped on with, like...
What's the question? What is our question?
My question is...
Baby laxative, yeah.
Will I get... How serious are they investigating this? Will I get in trouble? How will it affect me? And, I mean, what will it affect? If they
All right, listen, out? Hold on.
I think what Drew said was proper. You should probably, you know, mention that.
Tell them.
Mention the chlamydia.
But, yeah.
You're
going
to have a procedure, and if you're going to have a procedure done, you're going to have an egg retrieval, and they need to know your medical history accurately for your own safety.
Yeah. So,
Julie,
will that affect my qualification? Will they reject me?
First off, you sound nutty, Julie. What's going on?
She's just nervous about this whole thing.
Yeah,
anxiety disorder.
My first time.
All right, I remember what it was like the first time I donated an egg, so I sympathize. But what about knowing the child or following the child? Are you planning on doing that?
No.
Can you do it?
I signed up to be an anonymous donor.
Yeah, doesn't everyone have to be an anonymous donor?
Yes.
I don't want anything to do with it. Like with the baby or the parent. I've written in an interview questionnaire that I'd really like to help those who are fertility challenges who are.
Well,
infertile.
Let's just get to the.
Good.
The
Why
thing.
Don't you just give them the egg then? Why are you taking the $5,000?
Because I need the money. I feel guilty because
of course.
So basically,
Dr. Drew, and everyone's saying is that what you should do is you should definitely call the place up and say, look, I lied on, you know, these two or three things. Do you still want me or not? And that's it. Otherwise, what's going to happen is you're going to get the $5,000, you're going to give them the egg, and then you're just going to freak yourself out.
Right.
You know, and then they might do some research, and then they'll call you and they'll capture you.
That's right.
You know?
And not just apprehend you.
Yeah.
They'll use one of those nets that's strung in a tree, and it'll grab you around the ankle.
It'll be like a Planet of the Apes.
That's
you know what
right.
I mean?
That's
Planet
exactly.
of the Chinese people.
That's what it's like. Oh, imagine her poor parents. Like, let me tell you something about the Asians. Their kid gets a B in chemistry. They kill themselves. They find out their chick donated an egg.
And she's got all these things.
Oh, it's fall on the sword time. Pauly Shore.
That's my suggestion.
Sage. You are sage, my friend. Pauly Shore is in... you don't hear that word associated with Pauly Shore that much, but I'm calling him a sage.
Huzzah, a sage.
I said hip, hip, huzzah.
Huzzah.
Minding the Store. Shut up, Drew. Sunday night, 11 o'clock, I should say 10 o'clock, on July 17th on TBS. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. He's in Washington, D.C. tonight. Pauly Shore in studio tonight. All American Rejects in here tomorrow night. Minding the Store is the name. Pauly's new show, Sunday, July 17th, 10 o'clock. That's when it premieres. It just struck me that Pauly's staying for the first hour, and we only got about 3 more minutes. I keep running late, Drew. You can't let me do that anymore. Let's take a quick question for Pauly.
I'll stay one more break.
One more break?
Yeah, it's all good.
All right, well, let's take a question for used to be an escort, considering it again. Well, that sounds good. Good. Sorry, Pauly. Tanya?
Hello?
You're 28?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, I'm working on my PhD, and I'm at the point now where I don't have enough money to keep going to school and paying for rent and stuff.
Right now, like, probably 99% of the young girls' ears are just perking up.
So
why don't you get a loan? Why don't you get a student loan like
well,
everybody else?
Well, I have bad credit. I filed bankruptcy a few years ago, and so
have you applied for a student loan?
I can't get a student loan because I'm going to an unaccredited school, and there's no government loans, and private loans won't give me money because I have bad credit.
What kind of school
you,
are you going
all right,
to?
Drew, forget it. You used to be an escort?
Yes.
Let's focus on the fun here. And how long were you an escort?
Well, I was an escort for a couple years, but I worked in the adult industry my whole life.
Where'd you go? Where'd you escort at?
I did it on my own.
Where? In Washington? We should maybe hook her up with the Army guy.
She's in Santa Cruz. Yeah, you guys can meet somewhere in the middle. Yeah, okay, he's just up the coast a little
further. So what's the problem?
The problem is I don't want to do it because I don't want to jeopardize my career if for some reason I'm arrested or something.
And wait a minute, you said you've been in the adult business your whole life? Like, was your family in the adult business and your grandfather in the adult business?
just you. Just me.
Okay. And you got in when you were 18 years old?
Yes.
And you started doing porn films?
No, I was working in the S&M industry.
Oh. S&M industry.
You may have
hated
her.
What did you do in the S&M industry?
I was a slave.
A slave? What does that entail?
Building pyramids, stuff like that.
It entails being humiliated and bound and physically abused.
How was that?
What?
Lifting,
how was that experience?
It was fine. I'm into that in my private life, so I didn't really have a problem with it.
Maybe we should hook her up with that one guy with the crooked penis from earlier.
Yeah.
Or the choke, the daddy one.
Yeah, anybody can take a cat of nine tails along the ass, but this guy will F you up from the inside out.
Right,
He'll scramble your innards. It'll be awesome.
So you have this crazy history, now you're trying to get back on track.
And you're thinking about going and doing a little more hooking. Hold on a second, though, okay. Tanya, because we got to take a break. Polly Shore's here tonight. Don't hang up on Tanya, because I got 1,000 escort questions. I always want to know, like, how much, what for, how long did you do it? Did you have favorite clients, any famous people? All that stuff after this. Hey, everybody. Love line.
So we should tell her about the idea that we came up with, the stripper halfway house.
Polly and I were doing a little brainstorming during the break.
I think we got it because...
Well, here's the situation. By the way, Drew is in Washington, D.C. tonight. Polly Shore in studio tonight. Sunday night, premiere of his new show, Mine in the Store, 10 o'clock, TBS. Here's what we learned. We were speaking to Tanya a few minutes ago, and I was telling Polly... It just doesn't work to go from making all that money as a stripper.
Yeah, we're trying to put ourselves in her point of view as opposed to us giving her advice.
Right.
So here she is. She's working. She's making probably $700 to $1,000 a night if she's hot.
Right.
Right.
Doing the hooking.
Yeah, and she doesn't want to do that anymore, but she wants to go out in the real world. But you want to tell him?
Well, the real one. Now, Drew would say, well, just get a job at a Starbucks where you get $6 an hour and they take the taxes out and screw that. There's
a receptionist.
Oh, don't worry. That tip jar we get to whack up, you'll get $3 from that. Are you high? She doesn't want to do that. Drew, we need an intermediate job for chicks we're trying to get
like a stripper halfway house.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we find out what she's getting her PhD in? Maybe there's a profession there that she'll be joining soon if she screws up, she will not be able to get a living.
Until then. Drew, I want to get her a gig.
It's like a prisoner spending time in jail. Don't we have facilities for prisoners?
Yeah.
Before they go out and we like dump them out.
We try to reintegrate them slowly back into society.
So there's still, it's kind of like a prison halfway house.
Drew, we're working some of the beats out during the break. Polly and I, and we thought like it would be a job, but like if you collated some faxes, the guy'd slap $20 down on the desk or maybe stuff it in your skirt.
And you dim the lights. It wouldn't
just
be like dark in there.
Right,
and
but just bring them down, a little bit. We'd pump in a little cherry pie.
Yeah, a little warrant.
Striper, maybe.
Some striper would work.
Yeah, little Cinderella would be nice.
Maybe a little Tupac.
Yeah, a little more contemporary sound, yeah.
Yeah,
also, you could have... It wouldn't be a big deal if you had a couple of wine coolers during the course of the work.
Nothing too much, but just... something.
Just something to take the edge off.
But they're also working. They're faxing machines. And
absolutely.
On the computer.
For sure. There's work to be done.
And they're doing stuff. They're filing. You know?
Yeah.
And they're making $25 an hour as opposed to...
Rather, they're kicked up a little from the minimum wage.
What do you think, Drew?
I want to find out what the PhD is all about.
By the way, Drew's the greatest comedy partner ever.
Do you like our idea, dear?
Because of my school schedule and I'm going to start an internship and I'm working on my dissertation, I really only have like a few hours a week to work, which is why being an
expert. And by the way, a heavy bag is a better comedy partner than Dr. Drew. Tanya, What are you talking about? You're talking about having sex with guys and getting
correct.
Paid,
well, she
right?
needs quick pops. She needs to pay some of her rent.
Right.
So do you have a problem with it?
No. The only problem I have is I don't want to get arrested and risk losing all these years I've been going to school.
You won't. Just keep doing it how you did it before. Just do it not as much.
What are you trying to be? What is it you're going to? All right, you cannot do this.
You absolutely, categorically cannot do this.
You need to go to a
12-step
meeting.
You can't be a psychologist and come from a strip thing, right?
This is a profound boundary issue. Profound.
Well, I realize that.
So to make a few hundred bucks now, you're going to flush an entire career down the toilet.
Well, what kind of thinking is that? How will I pay for my school, though?
Yeah, I mean, she's got to blow somebody. Drew, how did you get through school? You sucked your way through school, did you not?
Well, how dare you, you hypocrite.
I know, I did.
Oh, yes.
So we all did.
Right.
I have a year left until I graduate, and I'm supposed to be doing an internship.
Let me yell at Tanya for a second. Tanya, have you ever called this show before?
No.
Okay, because we did have someone who was sort of a lot like you call in a few months back. Listen.
First of all, have you ever looked into a loan?
Yes.
Have you ever looked into? You have.
Yeah, I filed bankruptcy, so no one will give me a loan.
Tanya, listen to me. There's nothing you could do that would be worse than being a prostitute while you're going to school. If you have to take a year off, you have to take a year off. If you have to take 2 years off, you take 2 years off. You understand?
Uh-huh.
That's it. Especially if you're going in for a psychology degree. If you're going in for an engineering degree, I'd say start effing. But if you're going in for psychology, you're going to kill yourself.
You need to get a therapist of your own immediately because this is not going to work.
I have one, and I've confided in a couple. Okay, good.
Great.
All right. And by the way, how can you afford a therapist?
Well,
I guess she went into the black hole right there. Why?
There she is.
It's required to have a therapist if you're doing an internship and seeing clients.
Okay.
So, I mean, I look at it as part of school funds.
Okay. All right, Tanya. Do everything.
I think you're putting a lot of stuff on your plate.
Yeah.
You got a lot of stuff on your plate,
too.
Well,
the thing is, because I only have a year left, and everything kind of gets thrown in at the end.
Yeah. Don't do it. You understand?
You've actually looked into the loans?
You're so fixated on the loans.
I'll tell you why, because
my school is unaccredited.
Listen, the DITECH guy
doesn't.
The DITECH guy doesn't talk about loans as much as you, Drew.
But I'm looking online here at student loans. There's no requisites. There's nothing about. Yeah, she should be able. That's the thing about student loans. They will give them to anybody in school.
The guy that worked for me he got loans from some school, so he can
really.
Yeah,
I mean, he was a loser, right?
Very, very much so.
Drew, you know who the DITECH guy is?
Yeah.
What about those places that say no credit, no problem?
Yeah. Well, you have to own, like, your mom has to own the comedy store, and then they'll lend you money. Drew, do you know who the DITECH guy is?
I do.
You do?
I've seen the commercial.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's a pop culture reference that Drew knows.
I know, amazing.
All right, Tanya, don't do it. Should we just find out how much she charged?
Whatever. You can ask her all the questions you want now.
Well, I know what.
How much did you charge for a client?
$400 an hour, and then if you're a repeat customer, it goes down to $350.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if I could orgasm like 8 times in that hour? Same $400?
Same $400, but I probably wouldn't see you again.
But it's a whole hour, and you do it. You could do what you want with you or something.
Do you do
all that S&M stuff you did? Do you mix that in the whole thing?
Most clients that are into seeing an escort aren't into that as well.
Yeah, but do you say that on your menu? What?
Yeah, I do.
You say, oh, by the way, you can also, like, you know, speak bad to me and stuff?
I'll just say, like, role-playing and fetish is welcome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, like, for instance, if I was one of your clients and we were in your motel room and like, what would I say to you? You know, what would some of the things that I would have said to you that make me...
If you were dominant or if you were submissive or...
No, if I was submissive and you were dominant. Like, say, we're...
Well, are you in
the hour starts. The hour starts right now. Go.
Oh my God.
Wow. Listen, I agree, but you can't use that kind of radio on...
Okay, wait, no.
Yeah.
You didn't hang up on her, did you? I was getting excited.
No.
Don't hang up on her.
She's on hold.
Okay. Put her back.
No, we can't talk to her.
Yeah, but we just won't have her do the language part.
I know you think she's not going to do the language part, but she may very well do the language part.
Well, let's ask her.
No.
Let me just say.
We have to reboot.
Well, you guys can't ask her.
Yes.
I've been looking at online grad school loans, and she should have no problem getting one.
I'm on an hour right now thing with her, and you guys are cutting me off.
I just called Polly a effing piece of S, by the way. Now, it was unclear if she was playing a role.
I was waiting for something crazy to happen here.
Do you think she was in role-playing mode?
Yeah, she snatches in character. Okay. She freaked out. It wasn't her doing it.
I understand.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like she didn't like your movies or something.
This is how therapists and psychologists get a bad name. You have people who shouldn't be doing this work doing the work.
But Drew,
she needs to do something different than
Drew,
individual
therapy. That's life, Drew. There's a lot of people that shouldn't be doing things that are
but
doing.
But Drew, wouldn't you... Please, Drew, wouldn't you admit this, that you know how cops are oftentimes violent guys that are attracted to that kind of life and they end up getting on the right side of the law? Isn't it the same with therapists and psychologists, sometimes troubled people, counselors and therapists?
They hide in that whole thing.
They're troubled people who get on the right side of the trouble.
Very troubled.
Yes.
Crooked
and
cops.
She could, if she were dedicated to a recovery, she could make possibly a good therapist, but she's going nowhere near recovery. Nowhere near.
Samantha?
Yeah?
Hi, dear.
Uh-oh.
Hi.
What are you doing, princess?
Nothing. I just wanted to call and ask if you're going to be doing any movies, like, more than just a Comedy Store. Like, do you ever think about doing that? Because I used to love watching your movies.
Well, right now I'm just focused on the show, and then hopefully after, if the show gets picked up a second season, then I'll have a powwow with my agents and see what feature films are out there. But right now I'm just focused on the TV show. I have a movie called Polly Shore is Dead that's out on DVD right now. That's pretty cool if you want to check that out.
Oh, I thought that was a bad movie, so I didn't want to rent it because I don't want you to die.
Nice.
No, that's a good movie.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to rent that one then. I remember.
So do you have any sec?
I remember you were on MTV, and they had Who Wants to Marry Polly Shore or something like that, and I was really little. I thought that was really cool because I wanted to marry you.
Oh, boy.
Awesome. Hey, you still can, by the way. Yeah. Just because you were 5 when he was 26 doesn't mean you guys can't hook up now.
You have crushes.
Yes, of course.
Healthy.
So what do you look like?
I'm about 5'6", about 120, I guess.
What do you do?
I'm in sales.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What do you do?
I'm in sales.
What do you sell?
Her vagina.
Exactly.
Oh, what? You do that? So awesome. You're a stripper?
No, I'm not a stripper.
Well, what do you do, dear? You sound squeaky and fun.
I really don't want to say.
Please, princess, tell us. The world wants to know.
Let's just
you're
do
on
the
Love
math.
Line. Everyone wants to know what you do.
That's
they're all masturbating as they're driving. What?
I'm sure.
No, you're what?
Yeah, I don't want to say.
No one's gonna know. You're just your voice.
It's okay.
All right, let me talk some sense there,
Polly,
Samantha.
Polly brings them out.
Is it? I know. We usually get one hooker a month on this show. Polly comes in there; it's an avalanche of hookers.
Oh my God!
He sucks them out. He's like a hooker divining rod. It's like some sort of alchemist with hookers. He separates the hookers from the
chef. They come to me. They come to me.
Samantha, I'm going to just go ahead and guess.
And say
that
she's a.
You are doing what our last caller used to do.
It's a possibility. I just really want to say.
I'm going to go ahead and say that. But let me just do some math here. If somebody says, look. I'm going to guess you're a prostitute and for a living, and you say, it's a possibility, I don't want to talk about it.
I'm
going to go with that's an affirmative. Right. That's a big thumbs up.
Yeah.
Because if you're a dental hygienist, you say, no, I'm not a prostitute.
Exactly.
You don't go with, I'd rather not answer.
Right. We got that. So what do you have a website or something? You can want to plug your website? What?
No, I don't.
All right. How do we find you?
You can't find me.
Oh, well, I'll tell you how you can find Polly, www.pollyshore.com.
I got naked pictures of me on there, so.
You go to that website, Samantha, you start hooking up with Polly.
Where do you live? What area?
We're in the Central Valley. I'm actually not from here. I just moved here, so.
From where?
I'm sorry?
Scotland.
From where?
I'm from Florida.
Oh, Florida. Shocking.
That's
I swore it was Scotland. Wow, I'm always off. So Samantha, she's out in Fresno. Polly, you know, I mean, yeah, probably a, you know, 5-6 hour drive for
I
you.
I might just leave from here and just go straight there.
You make it there by sunup. No
yeah,
problem.
It'd be good.
Hey, Samantha?
Yeah?
I'll tell you what. Why don't you go out and buy Polly's DVD? Don't just rent it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because you know it's going to be good and you'll have it in your collection that way.
Okay.
And while you're there, you get Jury Duty, Encino Man, Son-in-Law, I'm in the Army Now, Biodome,
I'm in the Army
and The
now.
Curse of Inferno. And I just pulled that out of my ass, by the way. I'm that big a fan.
Yeah, well.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, baby.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Keep your legs up and your underwear dry. I don't know what you say to hookers when you cut them loose, but that seems good. Wow. She didn't sound like she had any issues with men, did she?
What was wrong with her, Drew?
I'm just overwhelmed.
She's not the marriageable type.
Yeah.
Yeah, Polly, you just find one of those for yourself. It'll be cool.
No.
Here's the deal.
No.
When people have been traumatized, it has a profound effect on how they're able to conduct themselves interpersonally. Profound.
So what's wrong with my traumatization? Is that a word? Traumatization?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah,
Polly wasn't traumatized.
Yeah, I was okay. What are my issues, Drew? You've known me long enough.
Too much, too soon. What about that with Polly?
It's a little sexual compulsion we decided, right?
Yeah, but let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
When Polly was, when you're doing Totally Polly, you were early 20s.
Yes.
And if you were, and by the way, you know, going on spring break and Cancun and just banging your way through South America and back to the mainland.
I've never been to South America.
Well,
Southern part of America.
Southern. The whole point is
Kentucky.
Well, here's the point. When I was 21, 22, I was swinging a hammer with a bunch of Guatemalan guys on a roof. You know, I didn't have access to the kind of tail you had.
But then waited 5 years and then you did.
8 years, but yeah.
Okay.
But the point is if I had had what Polly had had, the money, the life, the women and stuff, maybe I would have had this compulsion. Maybe anyone,
didn't have what we call a simple childhood either. I mean, your parents are pretty complex, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And busy and distracted by stuff. And
yeah. Now, is your family a little nutty? Is your mom a little nutty? Is your dad a little nutty?
I think so. But they have. They have huge hearts. There's a love there. It's not like we all hate each other and there's things being thrown and stuff like that. But there was a little bizarre.
Little neuroses.
Yeah. My sister's a little bizarre. Her name's Sandy Seashore.
Uh huh.
That's her
name.
And
wow.
My middle name's Montgomery.
Right.
You know, which is kind of where Polly Montgomery Shore PMS.
Oh, interesting. I'm sure they were thinking of that.
Yeah, like, what's up with that? And then, like, my dad, you know, I was an accident. I know that for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it's like, my parents didn't make love, and they're like, we can't wait to have a baby. It was like, the second I was born, they're like, oh, man, you know, what are we going to do now?
Is your brother and your sister older or
they're
younger?
They're all older. I'm the youngest.
Right, so, and you're a few years off them.
There's me and Peter are close to age, and then my brother Scott and Sandy, they're like a lot older.
So they thought they were like done having kids.
Yes.
And then came
Bob. But we were all accidents.
Right.
I mean, all of us.
Well, by the way, did they tell you that? How do you find that out?
They told me.
They're screwing with you, though.
I'm serious. They didn't want to be married.
Where was Polly's trauma?
But it wasn't, they never wanted to be married. It wasn't like, my dad was a road comic.
Right.
You know, working on the road, and he got my mom pregnant, and it was like one of those things. And it was like, back in those days, you didn't have an abortion, and you made it work.
Right.
And whether you were happy or not, you know, and they were very unhappy, so.
Right. And how long were they together?
Here you go.
Yeah.
They were together for a while, but then they got divorced when I was like 5 or 6.
So women really are not about closeness and intimacy.
My mom just dated comedians that obviously used her for stage time.
So in your mind, your relationships are something that aren't to be trusted in a way.
I don't know, Drew. Is that what you're thinking? Or
I think it's a little more profound. He doesn't know how to do one. Mm-hmm. So the only way you can feel close
to somebody is through sex. Sam Kinison was like my best kind of role model when it comes to relationships.
Oh, boy.
Really? Wow. It must have been
so
weird.
I just don't know how to do one, huh?
Well, yes. What's been your longest relationship?
Probably 2 years.
And was that with a civilian? I mean,
or a porn
normal,
star?
Was it a normal girl?
No, she wasn't a porn star. She was a model.
She's a model.
Yeah, yeah.
Was she a little nutty or?
Yeah, she's pretty nutty.
And why did it end?
Well, me being dishonest.
Oh, really?
In the relationship, yes, of course, and also not trusting her as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So closeness again. Closeness is a scary place for you. You can't really experience it in a trusting and caring way. So it goes back to being
safe. But it was also the fact that, you know, I have this thing in my mind, like, you know, does she love me for me or does she love me because I'm on TV? Which I'm sure a lot of celebrity people go through that, which I think is a bunch of crap.
Yeah, but, it is.
But
I think.
Because I think love is love.
Well, you know? I think whenever you get into that, does she love me for this or is it just the money or is it just where you're just looking for an excuse to get out?
Right.
You're looking for a reason.
Is that what you think too, Drew?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Really? Or at least a reason not to be close.
Right. So, because you can go, she's just into me because she knows me from MTV and she knows from the movies and all that stuff. And it gives you a reason to sort of back out and get a little distance. But so if you're Pauly, and I don't know how old are you?
I'm 37.
If you're 37. So you're Pauly, Drew, you're 37. Let's say you're not Pauly, but Pauly has come to you and he's thrown himself on your doorstep and he's saying, help me. He's 37 years old. He would like to get married one day, have some kids one day, have a normal life one day from a relationship standpoint. You got to get some therapy, right?
Yes, absolutely. The female therapist.
And a female therapist, this is an interesting thing. You need to establish a relationship with a female, not a male therapist.
Right.
So get a good female therapist. Uh-huh. And then number two, start attempting relationships that are a little more meaningful or what?
Yeah. Yeah, start and
when?
Start. The relationships are not quite so exciting.
Well, my sex therapist on the show, it says, you know, like to create, like if you're going to be with a girl, make sure that if she's like a marriageable type girl, then create a friendship with her and don't try and sleep with her. But if you're going to just hook up with a girl, make sure that the girl knows that's all it is you guys, it's on the table. You guys are just having fun and that's all it is.
Right.
And do you agree with that or
that's
don't just?
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. But again, you got to really go for people that are not quite so exciting.
But hey, you've done enough banging around, haven't you, Paul? I mean, you're coming on 20 years of banging around, right? You're celebrating your 20th. I got an invitation last month, so I know it's coming up. Just come celebrate Polly's 20th year of banging strangers. 20 years of banging nameless strangers. Well, I'm just saying, the bloom's off the rose now. You know what I'm saying? You don't have that new dick smell anymore. There's enough. It's enough. Settle in now.
Oh,
you just gotta settle in.
Okay.
All right. So, but you're going that direction. Like, see, here's my goal for Pauly. My goal would be 40. You're 37.
Yeah.
You know, you're starting to wind down a little, not producing the testosterone you were when you were 25. You're still enjoying life, but you're starting to head toward a family.
Right. I'm trying to head towards the heating path.
You're not right, and you're not going to do it in the next 9 months. But give yourself 2.5-3 years. 40. Yeah. Try to, you know, by the time you're 40, be in a relationship that looks like you're getting engaged or you're engaged.
And as far as what particular girl that I look for is what, Drew?
Not somebody so exciting. Somebody you're attracted to, but a little bit, you know, we give the same advice to women, you know, not something that's so, you're super attracted to, somebody who's just sort of nice and comfortable to be around and you like.
The female equivalent to this is not the bad boy.
Right.
I know the bad boy's exciting and enticing. No. He's no good for you. He's not marriage material.
No, that makes sense.
Be with someone you're attracted to and someone that rocks your boat, but not the bad.
Not someone that's going to come, you know, walking down the street that's going to be like...
Right. And if you're really super attracted to somebody and they really flip your cookie, probably not a good idea.
That's not a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be careful. All right. Sage advice for me this time and Dr.
Yes,
Drew.
Yes, this was good.
Well done.
Okay. I'm going to give Pauly one last plug, and then he's on his way because he's got to get up very early tomorrow to do a bunch of press. Mining the Store is the name of the show, Sunday night. It is July 17th, which is coming up this Sunday.
Back to back episodes.
Oh, back to back.
Yeah, 2.5 hours back to back.
10 o'clock and then 10:30 on TBS.
And there's a money back guarantee we should tell everyone.
Oh,
about.
Really?
Yes.
Go ahead.
There's a, after the whole Russell Crowe thing went down, you know, where he basically said, look, my movie's good. Come see it. If you don't like it, you can get your money back.
Right.
So I called the attorneys at TBS and I was like, we should do a $1 money back guarantee. So if people watch the show and they don't smile, they don't laugh, they don't smirk, they just stare at it and they're like, this doesn't work for me, then they can write in to TBS and then we'll send them a dollar. So,
and that's coming out of the TBS coffers.
It's up to 250,000 people.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the pool.
All right, I'm gonna start working on my letter now.
But you can't cheat. No, you can't go into it going, this is gonna suck, and da da. You gotta like I'm gonna really try and enjoy this and check it out.
Don't have a puss on.
And a smirk counts, a grin counts,
right?
All that stuff counts, but it's legitimate and it's on the website and it's real and it's the first ever, you know, televised $1 money back guarantee ever.
And so, it's on the TBS website, not the Pauly Shore
website.
It's on
TBS.com.
All right, thanks, Pauly. So. Always a good time. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hello, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is in Washington, D.C. tonight, where it's getting on to 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Pauly Shore has left the building. I can breathe, baby. You know what's funny, Drew?
Yeah.
Maybe I only notice it, but the nights when you're out of town and you're like broadcasting, it's always the night we get a comic in here who has a lot to say. And so yes. I end up sort of trying to act like a traffic cop, like, hold on, Drew, but Drew, no, but,
yes.
But, geek, but,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I kind of try to shut up because it's so much going on.
Be quiet, you know what I mean? Drew. Just quiet okay. down.
Nothing's
yeah, I know. It gets,
on.
It gets a little, people don't realize that. When you're in person, so much of language is sort of body language.
Huh.
When Drew and I are sitting, well, we're usually on each other's laps when we do the show. Oftentimes, Drew's in me.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Drew, but I told you I'm only going to sit on this, pardon the pun, for so long before I start telling America. Okay, and we'll talk more off the air, but you know my policy.
My wife is going to kill me.
Well, I called her this afternoon.
Okay, good. So you prepared her.
Yes.
What the hell is your wife going to say?
She's happy. She just wants half. I told her I'd give her half the dog, and she could go. She wants the front part of the torso. Actually, I'm going to give her the rear. All right, what are we talking about? Here's my point. When Drew's here and he's sitting right across from me, it's very easy to see when he's going to talk and when I'm going to talk because we lean in and there's that whole sort of body language thing. When he's across the country, you miss that part.
Yeah.
Okay. See how that worked? See how uncomfortable that was?
Yeah.
Drew, I'm going to give you your choice. You want to speak to Landon, who's 18, has a 19-year-old friend getting married to a 15-year-old. He's going to be best man. I don't read these questions until I get to until I do it on the air and get to the end, so I get shocked sometimes. You want to talk to Melissa? Used to do heavy drugs, takes ephedra to kill the urges.
Uh-oh.
You want to talk to Albert? Her. Has pain inside his urethra. Test came back clean. Or a little Germany or Florida. Ooh. What is it?
Wild card. Urethra.
Wild card? Urethra?
Yeah.
All right. Let's play Germany or Florida. Molly?
Hey.
You're 17?
Yeah.
All right, it's time to play a little Germany or Florida.
Okay, you ready?
Where's our David Allen Greer theme song? He fires Drew a PO'd email every time.
He does.
We don't hear this, so play it, Anderson.
Germany or Florida? Germany or Florida? Germany or Florida? Germany or Florida?
He really does.
Okay.
Race-fueled, angry, vitriolic email, he says.
Is it Germany or Florida? Hey! Germany or Florida? Let's find out. Dum-dum-ba-ding, dum-dum-ba-ding, dum-dum-ba-ding.
Big ending on that one. Big crescendo.
Okay.
See, here's the thing about David Allen Greer. People just think he's funny. They don't realize how effing crazy he actually is. In a delightful way, but Drew?
Yes.
Crazy?
Butterfly net crazy.
Yeah. Fun crazy. Not stab you with a syringe in the ankle.
No,
crazy,
not chaos crazy.
No, chasing with a butterfly net. Guy in a white coat chasing him crazy.
Yeah.
Molly?
Yeah. Okay.
Seven, 17?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay. A man walked into his place of employment after business hours. He saw, then saw that a light was on under the conference room door. Upon entering, he saw 10 of his colleagues sitting around, masturbating. When asked what they were doing, they merely smiled and asked if he wanted to join them. The man was an insurance agent. He then left, went to call the police, and later the police came and arrested the 10 coworkers and fired them, and later they were fired. Germany or Florida?
Well, let's get into this for a second. First off, right. they were still beating off an hour and a half later when the cops showed up?
No, I think they probably quit by then.
And then, how could they get arrested if the cops showed up? Unless he was there to press charges, he waited there with the, and the cops showed up.
Even then, that's not a United States police force behavior. You know what I'm saying? It's not an American police force maneuver.
Well, I know you're going to be shocked, but Pee Wee Herman was in Florida when he got arrested for masturbating in a public place.
Is that where that happened?
Of course. Where else would it happen? And let me just say this before we answer this Germany or Florida question, because we love to make a jokes about what an armpit Florida is. It's actually shaped sort of like an armpit, if you think about it. But I was watching my favorite show on HBO last night, that Dr. Bodden, who's the... he's the coroner, and he solves all those cases. And there was this guy who, like, in the 80s, was managing a motel, living in a motel. You know, that super skinny white trash guy with the mustache and the salt and pepper hair. And he's, like, living in a motel with this chick, and he's married to her, and she's driving his car and all this stuff. And then one day she just disappears, and he disappears, too. And they're like... Yes, he was in a motel in Fresno, and 25 years later, we finally located him. I'm like, Florida! Florida!
Yeah.
And
we're able to,
after scouring, Florida! After looking through the, Florida, 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 Florida! We found him in Florida. I'm like, you found him in Florida? Why don't you go to Florida? That's all. If I'm a cop, that's where we start.
Yes.
He's on the lam. All right, everyone, go to Florida. Whoa, how do we know he's in Florida? Look, if we hurry, we'll beat him there. He's either on his way to Florida or he's there now. That's it. Is there some sort of sign in front of Florida that's just like, welcome felons, just welcome deadbeat dads, welcome dregs of society? Like, well, how does that work? Do you think the United States like shaped, is it some sort of like white trash funnel where they're almost compelled? Like, are they salmon going back to spawn? You know, maybe every white trash degenerate started in Florida, and they're like salmon, like where they go, like, how do they know the exact pond they humped in? I don't know. They just know.
They just know.
That's where they go. They go to Florida. And I'm always, I'm surprised that I need to share this. I need to have like a seminar with law enforcement. Like, stop searching the other 49 states. Just go to Florida. What are you doing wasting the taxpayer money? They're in Florida.
So, of course,
it's 25 years later, and the guy's living in Florida, and he's got the crappy salt and pepper mustache, and he's just sitting there looking guilty as sin, and like, you know, it's that kind of thing where it's like, so she took off in your car, and you say she just left the motel? And you didn't call the police? No, I didn't. And you just left? Yeah, figured she wasn't coming back. And it was your car, and you were making the payments on it? Mm-hmm. And you didn't want to call the insurance company or anything? No. And by the way, his mom co-signed for it. So that's for the car. That's the other 79 Thunderbird. That's the other clue he was in Florida, because anytime your mom, as an adult, co-signs for a car, that means you're eventually going to Florida. Florida. I was screaming guilty in Florida the entire time. All right. Okay. You know what? All Florida, like, here's what I picture Florida. Athletes and felons. I just figure half of Florida filled with white trash, deadbeat dads, and then Shaquille. That's what I picture. Molly?
And Stallone.
Yeah.
All right. So, Drew, do we have a Florida or Germany call on this one?
I'm saying Germany.
Off under the table. You're saying Germany. I'm saying Germany, too. After that huge Florida jag, I'm going Germany. We're both going Germany, Molly.
You were right on with Florida.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
So that did not seem like a Florida to me.
I know. And I'm such an a-hole. I did 45 minutes on Florida and then picked Germany.
Yeah, my grandparents live in Florida.
Oh, uh-oh. Probably beating off on a cookie right now. Oh, don't think they were doing it onto the carpet, Drew. Oh, they were playing Eat the Cookie.
Oh, God.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Come on.
Come on, you're in a frat. You know how that goes. You're just a quick finisher, so you're cool.
They're like...
Drew, come on. Don't play stupid. Don't play stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, oh, it's a frosted oatmeal? Nope. Just regular oatmeal. That ain't... Yeah. Well, go ahead and eat it. You were last. You never played that game, huh?
Eat the shredded wheat? No.
You didn't rush a frat in college?
I did, but it was low-key stuff. Yeah, I didn't have to rush it. I just ended up living there for a little while.
Really?
They're more sort of houses you lived in than anything else. Just sort of
and
they're
fraternities?
Yeah, they got rid of them, though, eventually.
What was it? What was it? Which one?
Chi Psi, it was called.
Chi Psi?
Yeah.
That's a horrible-sounding frat.
Greek letters.
I know, but, you know, I've heard of, like, the Delta and Sammy House, Delta Chi, but Chi Phi?
Chi Phi was another one, but this was Chi Psi.
Chi Psi sounds...
These are old institutions. They would just give the first two letters. It was before the days of inventing, you know, sort of nicknames for them.
How are you supposed to pick up a chick saying you were at the Chi Psi? It sounds like a Japanese restaurant.
These weren't those kinds of places. It didn't matter.
All right. Well, look. Anyway, look. Let's get bogged down. The point is you played many a game. I eat the cookie over at the Chi Psi house, and that's what we need to get out of the conversation. All right. Now we got.
Wait a minute. I was Chi Phi. Wait, how was Chi Phi? I think about it.
You were Chi Phi?
Not Chi Psi. I hung around with the Chi Psi guys.
It's like we're speaking in Japanese. Chi Psi? Chi Phi? So you were Chi Phi, but you hung out with the Chi Psi guy.
I think that's how it worked. Yeah.
All right, so you're a Chi Phi guy, but you hang out with the Chi Psi guy?
Yes. It's good times.
All right.
Prince Albert was at Chi Psi, the guy that just got crowned Prince of Monaco.
Prince was a Chi Phi guy or Chi Psi guy?
Chi Psi. He was Chi Psi guy.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Ready to take a little break?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Please.
Mm-hmm. Is that Prince Albert of Monaco?
Yes.
Of Monaco?
Yes.
All right.
Prince of
I'd like
Monaco.
To start. I want to add the of. Like, I want to go Adam of North Hollywood. You know what I mean? See if I can bring us some regal, add a little regal flair to North Hollywood.
That'd be good. From now on, you'll be Adam of North Hollywood.
Be awesome.
Or Adam of Corolla.
North Hollywood. I need a place. You know what I mean?
Of Los Angeles? Of Hollywood?
Adam of Hollywood.
North Hollywood. Okay.
Yeah, Adam of Hollywood sounds like I have, you know, gay novelty items.
Yeah.
You know, I sell like, oh, wait, you want the woodpecker dildo? Sure. Well, yeah. With batteries. Okay, well, that's... No, it doesn't come with them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a break. Chi Phi, Chi Psi guy, Dr. Drew is in Washington, D.C. tonight, getting a little punchy. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is in Washington, D.C. tonight, going to address the interns on Capitol Hill.
What does
that mean, Drew? I know you explained it earlier, but it still didn't make sense.
There are interns here from colleges all over the country that work for our representatives, mm-hmm. and they have educational forums for them throughout the summer. Mm-hmm. This is one of the Independent Women's Forum did some research on these kids and see how much they're drinking, how much are they hooking up. We're going to sort of confront them about their behavior, basically.
This is not a lecture. It's an intervention.
Yeah, part of it will be. Yeah.
Independent Woman's Forum.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of bull dykes named Judith.
No, it's good. It's really good.
Really? A lot of hot ass?
Are you high tonight? You like...
All I'm saying is when I hear Independent Women's Forum, I just hear angry coos.
Well, no, it's actually the other side of the aisle, as it were.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hot coos? Really? Are they good-looking young chicks?
I don't know. I'll find out. I haven't met
whatever. You go to town. Go sick, brother. Go sick.
Yeah, okay.
I'm behind you.
Don't worry. Don't worry.
All right. You know, it was about 105 here today, Drew. So you didn't miss much.
I heard. My kids were at Magic Mountain. That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I was 180 there. Plus, I got that old sick bald F with the Swifty Lazar glasses dancing like a retarded maniac. I want to strangle him. I want to strangle him. You know what I want to do? I want to get him together. I want to get the Noid from the Domino's Pizza ad. I want to get the guy who came up with the slogan, "What can Brown do for you?"
Oh, yeah.
And I want that green light funding jingle. You've got the green light. Ding, ding, ding. I want all those people together, and I just want to put them in one of those old car crushers. Just watch their guts shoot out of the top. That's my fantasy.
Nice.
I want to put down the Magic Mountain guy who's driving me insane, and then the next guy on my list, Dr. Bruce, who'd never seen the Magic Mountain guy.
I can't believe that.
Do you understand what it's like? Do you understand what it's like being me now, Drew? So anyway, yes. It's 100
in
that. You can't, right? So it's 170 degrees today, and I'm framing this house in North Hollywood. And I'm just getting the crap kicked out of me by the sun. And I don't know. Here, Drew, would you figure this out for me? The sun is 7 billion miles away from the Earth, right?
Right.
Maybe it's 20 billion miles away. Right?
Right.
Okay. So this orb that is on fire is 20 billion miles above my head. Yet, if I climb up a 6-foot ladder and get on the roof, I'm 1,000 times hotter. Now, I moved 8 feet toward the sun, and I didn't even get into 1 mile of the 6 billion miles it was away. Yet, all I do is move like one head length closer to it, and I'm frying now. How does that work?
You know how when you go down 8 feet in a pool, you feel like your head's getting crushed?
Yes.
Well, the air, the atmosphere is a little bit that way, too. So when you go up just a little bit, it's a little bit less atmosphere.
Are you guessing me?
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
You don't know what you're talking about, but you're right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
And by the way, what the hell was God thinking with man? Like, really, I swear, my head gets...
Listen, just stop right there. You've asked the ultimate question on so many levels.
My head gets lower than 5 feet in the pool. I get the bends. My head's going to explode. I can't, it's like piercing ear pressure. I can't take it.
Yes, me too.
What is that? Why can't, shouldn't we be designed to go down like 20, 30 feet like a man? You know what I mean?
When I was a kid, I used to do halibut diving and lobster diving and stuff, also sort of without tanks and things. And my friends would always just go, oh, yeah, just grab your nose and blow.
You got to equalize.
Equalize. Yeah. I'm like, what? Yeah. And then I get twice the pain in my ears.
Yeah, I don't like those blowhards with their knives on their strapped to their calves and their super watches that are good to 8,000 fathoms. You got to equalize. No, just hold on to your... It hurts more than... The cure hurts more than the actual disease when you do that.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, so here's what I'd like. I'd like a world where I could go down like 20, 30 feet and then hang out for like 10 minutes, like a lot of animals. You know, those animals... You know, like those seals and otters and all whales and all, they breathe air. They just go down for like 45 minutes.
Right.
Now, how freaky is that, by the way, when they're like, yeah, the great whale, they'll dive to depths of 2,000 to 3,000 feet. Like, and then come up for air, but it needs air?
Yeah.
Really?
Is that weird?
How does that work? Well, you know what? I'll tell you, we're pretty versatile with the opposable thumbs and everything, but that's one thing we're definitely pussies at. Going down like 6-8 feet, head's going to explode. Hold our breath for 25 seconds and then start freaking out. And by the way, what's with this, you can hold your breath 40 seconds. To me, it should be either like 10 minutes or just nothing. You can't go in water. That's a bad design. Like, here's the deal. Oh, you're perfectly fine. You can go in water. You know, you can get wet. You can swim. You can do whatever you want. But you stay under longer than 40 seconds, you die. That just sounds like trouble, right?
Right.
This is a bad design. We should be made not to go in the pool at all.
Right.
Or be able to hold our breath for 5 minutes. That's why, you know, 7 million infants die in the pool every year. They can't handle the water.
Right.
All right. Let's work on that, Drew.
All right. Done.
Let's get going. Let's get going and talk about that to those interns tomorrow. Boss got him drunk. He blacked out. Woke up in bed with her. Ooh.
Ooh.
Evan?
Sounds bogus.
Yeah.
No, not bogus, guys.
Oh, okay. Well, then it can't be bogus.
No, it's not. I really wish I used a fake name, though.
Okay.
But, yeah, I went on this business trip, and I told my boss beforehand that I was getting sober. And she made fun of me. She was like, oh, you need to get drunk. And she said I was no fun anymore. And just pressured me to drink, and I did. I blacked out.
What kind of work?
Passing out, and I remember her jumping on me, and then I blacked out again and woke up, and I was getting oral sex from her.
Oh.
And so my question is, it kind of makes a difference to me in how I feel about it, whether it was a rape or not, you know? I feel like it was, but you know, some people might disagree.
Well, I've learned from watching daytime TV that everything is rape. You know, when I go and drop a number two, I consider it rape. It's everything's rape. So there's nothing, there's no interaction you can have with another human being that's not rape. So that's number one. So we've all been, I'm currently being raped. Number two or three, how hot is she? Because that'll determine whether it was rape in my book, really. Let's be honest.
I did not touch her beforehand.
You did not want to touch her?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I never would have wanted to.
What do you do? What kind of work do you guys do?
High tech.
Okay, so here's the deal, because we're out of time. This may technically, in the eyes of the law, be rape. You'll never be able to prove it. A, you're a guy. B, you're drunk. C, you know, you're blacked out, which the person doesn't know you're blacked out. Yeah.
More about the carnage of your addiction. And that's how you have to look at this. You have to look at this is part of the consequence of your alcoholism, and that's what needs to be dealt with and focused on.
Never woke up being blown. Never.
I'm sorry, Adam.
Never. Yeah. Although I could have slept through thousands of BJs. I don't know. I never woke up, but I'm assuming I didn't get one. All right, let's take a break. What do you say, buddy?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we'll be back after this. Well, that's it, everybody. That's the show. Yeah. I want to thank Pauly Shore for coming in tonight and tell everyone to watch his show. Which is, that Pauly Shore show. Yeah, Mining the Store. Pauly Shore, Sunday night, July 17th, big premiere, 10 o'clock on TBS. Drew, God bless. We'll see you in studio tomorrow night with the All-American Rejects.
Absolutely.
And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
You just said, hey, wait.
No, slow down. I'll kill you. Well, you got to stab you. Where's my black security guard? He's not here.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.